ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 4. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He's making something out of you." He says, "But let every man take heed how he builds upon this foundation. As a master builder I've laid, and Jesus is the cornerstone." He says, "Let everybody take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day that we're living in shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that is to take you." It is being revealed by fire, and the fire does try every man's work, what sort it is. He says, "If any man's work abides, he shall receive a reward. If any man's be burned, he shall suffer loss." Think Samson. Okay, Samson was a guy who really blew it all the way from his time he was told who he was and what he was chosen for to the time that he was pushing those pillars down in the Philistines' arena. And he was a man who suffered loss of his eyes. He lost of his... People think, "Well, I'm going to go off Taiwan. I'm going to be drunkard. I'm a Christian. I don't even know if I'm even saved." 2 Peter chapter 2. Forgetting even that they were washed from their sins. But in the end, when it comes right down to it, they will grab themselves by God's grace and realize that they truly do believe, and they will live a life at that moment, even if it's an inkling. Now, I'm talking about a person who is sin unto death worthy. Nobody may see it, but God sees it. Now, listen. He's saying some people are going to be saved, yet so is by fire, only in the sense that it's going to be hard all the way from here to home. What does the Bible say? Four seeds, one was scorched by the sun when persecution came. Remember that? Do you think believers, is that a person who gladly received the word of the Lord? Now, you might believe the three are lost. You got the wayside, you got the stony ground, and you got the thorny ground. He says one was choked. You can't choke something that's not alive. And I would suggest to you, we have manifold evidences of people like Jephthah, like Gideon, like David, and like Samson. The day will declare it. If I were to ask you right now, is Samson saved? You can't argue with the fact that he was. If we didn't know that he was written in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, our minds would be, "Well, I don't know." I mean, he was a mess. How could he be that bad? But we know he was because God says he's one of the heroes. And what's his story going to be? It's manifested. You know every nitty-gritty detail of his sin. You know it. What about Lot? Was he saved? He was going to give his daughters to the Sodomites. "Don't do this to these men. Here are my daughters. They've never known a man." The angels reached in and pulled those girls back and the man back, and they smote them with blindness. And those people were so enraged and so consumed in their lust, they groped all night for that door. Now, I don't know how gracious your God is, but I'm telling you, the God of the Bible is a gracious God. He forgives to the uttermost. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but there is condemnation, not from God, but from yourself. You might have self-condemnation. It's got you in a stronghold. You're done. You want to quit. You want to walk away. Or maybe it's the devil's condemnation because you overstepped a boundary and now you're in a stronghold. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the casting down of strongholds. We bring into captivity every thought. The obedience of Christ. I teach you what I believe to be something you need to consider, because he's telling you that everything you are doing right now is going to be revealed. And it's not about rewards, because the bema is not about rewards. It's about judgment. Everybody's going to appear before Jesus. That's why we know he's at the great white throne as well as the judgment seat of Christ. He's there. And he bore our sins in his body on that tree. Back to our passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, we're talking about the fiery trial. "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." Do you see what kind of trial it is now? It's a trial by fire. He mentioned it in chapter 1, verse 7. "It's more precious than that of gold." The trial of your faith is more precious than that of gold that perishes. And now he's telling us, don't think this is strange. This is what God's been doing all along. He says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice." Okay? You get to be partakers. He says, "As much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." What? Yeah. "That I may know him." and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be partakers of the sufferings for the name of Jesus. Counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. You are partakers of Christ's sufferings. He's rejoicing in that. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be rejoicing. Glad. Be rejoicing. Also with exceeding joy. That's jumping around joy, man. That's agon, meaning much leaping. Okay. Oh, man. I was talking to John yesterday, and he said, as soon as I get this water out of here, I think I'll do a cartwheel. I said, no cartwheels. Don't be doing it. I said, you're getting that from the top, up on top level. Don't be doing it. Because he'd be so happy. He'd be so happy. And that's what we will be when we see him. He says, if you be reproached, the word literally comes from the word name. If you be called bad names. They called them Christians first in Antioch as a name of derision. But they were calling them that because they were acting like little Christs running around out here. He says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. This is right back to the Beatitudes. It's the word makarios. It means you are to be congratulated. If you go back and you take this word, happy, and you put it in there, happy are those who are poor. Happy are those that mourn. Happy, but they use the word blessed. He says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, that's one of the end ones. Remember that? Happy are you, blessed are you, if you be persecuted. Because so they persecuted the prophets. He says, for then the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Very interesting, because he's telling us very clearly that the Holy Spirit is involved in what we're dealing with when we're dealing with these kind of persecutions. That he shows up in a very unique and powerful way. I will read to you one of the things Barnes says about this. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. He says, there is no doubt that there is a reference here to the Holy Spirit. And the meaning is that they might expect that that Spirit would rest upon them or abide with them if they were persecuted for the cause of Christ. He goes on to say, they might even have great hope that God would impart His Spirit to them in proportion to their sufferings in behalf of religion and Christ. And that they would have augmented joy and peace. This is doubtless the case with those who suffer persecution. And this is the secret reason why they are so sustained in their trials. He's talking about the martyrs he's read about and knows about. Do you want the Spirit of God and of Christ to be upon you? Take up the cross every day. Live for Jesus. They won't like it. Nobody will be liking it. You're going to start stepping out of your lane. You're going to start telling about Jesus. You're going to try to give them a tract. And you might not be liked for it. Your family might not like you for it. Your friends might not like you for it. Your neighbors might not like you for it. And I'm not talking about doing it in an unseemly way. Do it in a mature way that is wise as serpents, harmless as dove. But you're trying to get Jesus to these people because you understand what He's up to. It may cost you something. He says that the Spirit of glory and of God will rest upon you. He says on their part He's evil spoken of, blasphemed literally. On their part He's blasphemed. But on your part, He's glorified. I remember Rush Limbaugh used to always say that they always wanted equal time. He says, I am equal time. Everybody else is saying all the wrong things. Do you know what you are? You're equal time if you're telling them about Jesus. You're equal time if you're telling them He's good. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. Now, murderer we know from the Beatitudes, and he's talking to people who know the Beatitudes. You know, from the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, after the Beatitudes, he says, if you think in your heart you've already murdered them, if you think in your heart you've already committed adultery, look what he says, don't let any of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Well, I'm working for this Gentile, this Goyim. I could take some of his stuff. He didn't need it. In fact, he's not deserving of it like I am. I'm a good Jew. He says, don't suffer as a murderer. Don't murder them in your heart. Don't steal their stuff. Don't be an evildoer. You guys remember that story about the little Vietnamese boy that waited on all those soldiers and they finally got a word from the chaplain, you know, get right with God. And many of them got a little touch. And they thought, you know, we ought to stop tripping him and putting little buckets of sewage on the door when he walks in and laughing at him. Remember that? And when we got him in there one day and said, listen, we're sorry. We've been wrong. We feel really bad about that. He says, no more doors, no more sewage, no more tripping. He says, yeah, no more. He says, okay, no more spit and soup. Okay. So if you feel like you're the guy on the bottom rung, You see how these things fit in his narrative? He's talking to Jews in the midst of Gentiles who have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from their history, and now they're being called upon to suffer. And by that suffering, the elders received a good report, and by that suffering, they're going to receive a good report, and they shouldn't think it any strange thing, the fiery trial that is to come. It says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So can you lean in? Can you lean into the deprivations? Can you lean into the discomforts? Can you lean into the struggle? You know, when the Bible talks about being older, it says, let your children take care of you and all that. That's a thing. We live in America. We don't want our kids to have to do anything. He says, let them learn to show piety at home. Let them learn. So if they say, let me do that for you, Mom or Dad, then let them do it. Because that's a good movement in their lives. If they're not saved, it's amazing. Okay? And God may keep us here for long enough to show our suffering, which we all are in the same boat there. We all think, oh, I hope I don't get that week where they have to see me buckle at the knees. But one day Dad's strength is going to wane. One day Mom's not going to sparkle like she always did. And that's going to be its own kind of trial. And what we do at times like that is we need to glorify God in that. Remember Samson. Remember what Paul told Timothy. He says, thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. It's going to be hard. He told Ezekiel, he says, the Lord said unto him, go into the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark on the foreheads of them. And he's talking to the inkhorn angels. And he says, on the mark of the forehead of them is a sign cry for all the abominations that they've done in the midst thereof. Why are we suffering down here? Why is America teetering? Why is the border open? Why is our cabinetry all over the world being filled with people who are transvestites and transgenders? Why is everything becoming this way? It's because we've done iniquity in the sight of God. He's put down our hedge, and we are the believers that are on site saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. We're the watchmen in the wall saying, Lord, I'm so sorry, and I need to tell people about Jesus. The dear lady who won my mother to Christ, or at least got her into church, her name was Maggie Craze. Her story is right now being told on the streets of heaven. But when she was older, much older, she was totally out of it. It's one of the most tragic things. What ended up happening with her was my wife and the grandchildren went over and they saw her and we talked to her one day, but then Linda started picking up to see her routinely. One day she got down beside her and just talking to her and making conversation, not any kind of reaction, but she started singing a hymn. And Maggie lit up and she started singing the hymn. And every time my wife went there after, she would sing a hymn and Maggie would wake up and sing the Psalms of Solomon. Beloved, this is not easy. It's a fiery trial. It's going to get harder. The days of darkness are going to come. Some would say they're here. The world's in upheaval. But as God's children, we need to figure out how to rejoice. David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is not an easy time to be a Christian. It's not an easy time to preach right and wrong from a pulpit. But it is what we must do. Be the Christian today. And understand this, that God will take your story and He will sanctify it, even if it's like Samson's for a while. Come back to heal. Jephthah, Gideon, got caught up, got lured away. Peace has a way of doing that. Remember this, is in the light that they didn't have. We have the light, He tells us. Everything's going to be manifested in this day. It's being manifested as you make every decision from every day. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.